Deflation, the economic nightmare some economists are waking up to.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, one solution to the European debt crisis? Chocolate. But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are down this morning at the open. The Dow down 92 points, about 0.7% at 12,568. NASDAQ down 0.8%, and the S&P 500 down 0.5% right now. The government said this morning that consumer spending stayed flat in December, but personal incomes were up, so it appears Americans are saving some extra cash. For more on that, let's bring in Julia Coronado, chief economist with the investment bank BNP Paribas. She's with us live from New York, as she is every Monday. Good morning, Julia.
Good morning.
So we're saving a little bit more. Is that a good thing?
That's a good thing and a bad thing. On the one hand, it's great that consumers are now living within their means to a greater extent than they did in the past. So when you see a burst of spending, then they slow down and rein it in and save a little bit more. And that's good. On the other hand, it does mean that slower growth for the economy is probably with us for a while.
And put this together with some of the other trends we're seeing. Nobody wants to really buy stuff right now unless they're getting deep discounts. People are holding out on buying houses because they think maybe they'll get a better deal going forward. Isn't this possibly textbook deflation?
Well, this is exactly the scenario that keeps the Fed awake at nights, and one of the reasons that they've been determined to stay very aggressive. Indeed, if consumers know that they're going to get a better deal next year, next month, then why spend now? And so deflation can be very insidious that way and lock in lower and lower spending. On the other hand, you know, consumers' wages just aren't rising, and so if they don't have greater purchasing power, they can't go out and spend. So I'm not sure that the Fed can fix that one quickly.
And Julia, we hear more about inflation than deflation. Is inflation still a concern for you?
You know, again, we can see bursts of inflation like we did last year, usually driven by global developments in energy markets. But it's not going to last as long as consumers don't have the wages to absorb it. So when we saw inflation last year, consumers just stopped spending. And that itself took the wind out of commodity prices. So there's a very limited extent to which I think we could really see inflation rise over the long term.
Julia Coronado, chief economist with the investment bank BNP Paribas, thanks as always.
It's a pleasure.
Well, European leaders are gathered today in Brussels for yet another summit on the debt crisis. But one British company isn't waiting on politicians for a solution to the credit crunch. It's got its own sweet idea, as Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports.
No liquidity problems for this factory. Molten chocolate fairly pours down the production line, partly thanks to the new line of credit, the chocolate bond.
Our customers advance us some money, and while we're using the money that they've loaned us, we repay the interest to them in chocolate.
Angus Thirlwell of Hotel Chocolat offers his 100,000 mail-order customers a mouth-watering investment opportunity. Lend us $3,000 and we'll send you 6 large boxes of high-quality chocolate a year.
It deepens the relationship with our customers. And if I had a choice of who I'm going to pay interest to, a big bank or my lovely customers, well, it's an easy choice.
So far, his company has raised more than $7 million in this way to buy new machinery and expand its cocoa estate on the Caribbean island of St. Lucia. Anne Avis in London is one enthusiastic investor.
I'm a customer and I'm buying the chocolates anyway. And then to get paid almost a 7% return in chocolates when you stick the money in the bank, you barely get 3%, just seemed like a great idea.
And it's an even sweeter deal for Hotel Chocolat. The bond may yield almost 7% for the investor, but it obviously costs the company much less. And, says Angus Thirlwell, it does combat the credit crunch.
We're not subject to the vagaries of whether banks feel positive or negative about the overall economic outlook. We're more secure, more ring-fenced in a nice relationship with our own customers.
No worries about investors losing their appetite for this debt, he says. The interest on this loan will always be pretty tempting. Debt that doesn't leave a bitter taste, although it might add a few pounds to the customer's bottom line. In Huntingdon, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, combining email marketing and social media for more customers and more time back on the clock. Learn more at ConstantContact.com. By The Economist, presenting its third annual Ideas Economy Innovation event on March 28th in Berkeley, California. More information at innovation.economist.com. And by GoToMeeting by Citrix, bringing high-definition video conferencing to online meetings for face-to-face collaboration. More at GoToMeeting.com.
It's going to be another relatively warm week in the eastern part of the country, and as Marketplace's John Dimsdale reports, this year's warm winter is sending the cost of home heating oil way down.
Kyle Cooper tracks fuel supplies as managing director of research for IAF Advisors in Houston, where he says temperatures have routinely been in the 70s this January.
It's not so fun in July and August, but in the winter, yeah, it's not bad.
The winter's lower-than-normal demand for heating fuels like oil and natural gas is creating a glut. In fact, Cooper says the surpluses could become what he calls catastrophic.
We're on a path to actually exceed storage capacity by October or November. There's a chance there's literally no more room at the end.
The price for natural gas has dropped by 50% since September, and that helps electricity generators and refiners of gasoline.
The U.S. is now a net exporter of both gasoline and diesel fuel as a result of the competitive cost advantage that U.S. manufacturers now have as a result of this cheap natural gas.
Right now, Americans are paying about $2.50 for natural gas that costs Europeans $10. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
And finally to Middleton, Wisconsin, home of the National Mustard Museum, which is having some trouble paying back a $200,000 loan to Dane County. The collateral for the loan is the museum's mustard collection. The county doesn't want to go down that road, so it's giving the museum a little extra time to catch up on its payments. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Business news. It's not all banks, budgets, and bottom lines, you know. At Marketplace, we think it can be lots of things, like...
So, maybe you've heard of the Kardashians.
iPhone and iPad apps.
Christian Dior.
Wine.
We Fit.
Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
The NFL.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Whether you need news or the numbers or just a good laugh, join us next time for Marketplace, the business show for the rest of us. It's from APM, American Public Media.